The Lord be with you. Jesus said, I've come into the world to bring judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and so that those who do see might become blind. What do you see? Now, if you've been watching the news at all lately, you've seen a lot about the coronavirus, and so perhaps you've also seen elders in our community worried for their health. Perhaps you've seen grocery stores with aisles barren of toilet paper and the chocolate that you really want to eat. Perhaps you've seen isolation and loneliness because of social distancing, and perhaps you've seen boredom because of the governor's mandatory order to shelter in place. Perhaps you've seen a pandemic and all the inability that comes with it. Now, I ask you what you see because our lessons today from Scripture are about what we see and about what God sees. Our reading from the Gospel today in John chapter 9 starts by saying that as Jesus walked, he saw a man blind from birth. Now, while it may be that Jesus saw a man who happened to be blind from birth, everyone else in the gospel reading sees not the man, they see the blindness. They see blindness that happens to be connected to a man. So much so do they focus only on the blindness that when the blindness is healed and gone, and the man can see again, they can't recognize the man because they never really saw him in the first place. All they ever saw was the blindness. And as people, we have a habit of seeing only inability. And sometimes, like in this gospel lesson, we see physical disability. But sometimes we also see moral inability, and sometimes we conflate physical disability with moral inability. And that's actually what Jesus' disciples do at the beginning of the gospel lesson. They see this man who has been born blind, and they ask Jesus, who sinned? Was it this man's parents, or was it this man that he is born blind? Now, it's not just Jesus' disciples who are so focused on inability, whether it's the physical inability or the moral inability. The Pharisees in the gospel lesson, the religious leaders of the community in Jesus' day, they are also so focused on Jesus' inability to follow the rules that they have that they can't see a miracle when it happens right before their eyes. You see, Jesus heals the man on the Sabbath, and he does this by mixing spit to make mud. And both those things, both the healing and the mixing, violate the Pharisees' understanding of what it means to honor the Sabbath, to have a day of rest. And so they say to themselves, well, this man has an inability to follow God's law, so surely he can't be from God. And not only that, Jesus' failure to follow the rules that they set out, it not only blinds them from seeing Jesus as being sent from God, it blinds them from being able to believe that the man was truly healed. In fact, they go to the man's parents and say, is this really your son? Was he really born blind? And when the parents confirm that it really is their son, that he wasn't faking his blindness, it goes so against the reality that the Pharisees see, that they kick the man out of their community rather than stare in the face the truth of what Jesus has done. And the same thing happens in our Old Testament reading from 1 Samuel today. You see, Samuel is so convinced that he thinks he knows what ability looks like that he almost misses seeing the next king of Israel. God says to Samuel, I have chosen for myself a new king among the sons of Jesse. So go and find him and anoint him. And so Samuel goes and meets Jesse, and they prepare a sacrifice together. And Samuel says to Jesse, bring all your sons. And so Jesse brings 7 sons. And when Samuel sees the oldest son, he sees this tall, strapping young man, and he says, wow, that must be what a king looks like. This must be the next king of Israel. But God says, nope, not him. And so Samuel goes down to the next oldest, the next biggest. And God says, not him either. And so Samuel starts going down the line, starting from oldest to youngest, biggest to smallest. But each time God says, nope, that's not the one either. Until eventually Samuel runs out of Jesse's seven sons and has to say to him, look, do you have any more? And Jesse says, well, there is one more, but he's the youngest. And since he's so small, we just left him to keep track of the sheep. Now, that youngest, that smallest, his name is David. And we, of course, know that he will go to become the greatest king of Israel. He will become the descendant of Jesus, or he'll become the ancestor of Jesus. But for Samuel and Jesse, they can't see the possibility that God has in this man because they are so focused on David's inability to live up to their expectations of what a king should look like. And so God has to say to Samuel, do not look on the outward appearance or on the size of his stature. And then God says, for the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. You see, Jesse and Samuel, they could only see inability. But God sees possibility. And that's what happens today in the gospel lesson also. You see, Jesus' disciples, they can only see moral inability. They say to Jesus, hey, why is this guy blind? Did his parents sin or did he sin, right? Someone must be to blame for this. But where they can only see inability, Jesus sees possibility. He sees possibility for God's works to be revealed. He says, neither this man nor his parents sinned. Jesus says, this man is blind so that God's works may be revealed in him. Jesus is inviting his disciples not to look for who's to blame in a situation, but to look for the opportunities for God's works to be revealed in the world. And of course, the first way that Jesus reveals God's work in this man is by healing him, by restoring his sight. But that's not the greatest work of God that Jesus does in the gospel lesson. No, the greatest work that Jesus reveals is at the end of the story. After the man hasn't been recognized because he's no longer blind, after the man has been doubted and disbelieved because his healing doesn't match with the religious doctrine of the community, after the man has been kicked out of his own community because he refuses to deny the reality of his experience, Jesus goes to that man and says, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man responds, tell me, sir, who is he, that I may believe in him? And Jesus says, you have seen him, and the one who is speaking to you is he. Which, when you think about it, is kind of a strange way to describe the Son of Man, right? As the person that you see and the person who's talking to you. At least it seems strange until you realize that every other person in the gospel lesson has not seen the man. They've seen his blindness. They've not talked to the man. They've instead talked about the man. They've talked about his blindness and about how his healing doesn't make sense to them. But Jesus is the first person who sees the man as a man. Jesus is the first person who talks to him and not about him. You see, Jesus enters into a relationship with the man and gets to know him and being known by him. And in so doing, Jesus affirms what everyone else has denied, that this man is a human being, that this man isn't a problem or an inability, that this man is made in the image of God, is fully human, and is full of possibility. That's what Jesus does for this man. That is the greatest work that God does in this man, and he does it just by having a conversation with him and treating him as an equal, as a human being full of possibility. Because you see, when the world sees only inability, God sees possibility. And right now, we may look out in the world and we may see the coronavirus and all the inability that it causes in our society, but I am here to tell you that God is looking out at the world right now, and in it, he sees that possibility abounds. I know this is true because God has spoken to me about it. God has spoken to me about it through Raquel Kroc, who 2 weeks ago called me up and said, "Ben, I went to the Safeway parking lot, and there I saw an elderly couple in their car, and they rolled down a window as a stranger went past and said, 'We're scared to go inside to buy groceries.' And they handed the stranger money and said, 'Will you buy the groceries for us?'" And in that moment, Raquel didn't focus on the inability of the elders. She instead asked me, "Is there a possibility that the church could do this service for the elders in our community?" God has spoken to me about possibilities through Diane Knight, who a little over a week ago said, "There's so many people who are going to be stuck at home. Is there a possibility that we could set up a phone tree so that everyone gets checked on to make sure that they're okay and so that they know that they're not forgotten?" You see, where the world sees inability, God sees possibility. And the best part is, just as Jesus doesn't just heal the man, but goes on to see and recognize the man as fully human and full of possibility in and of himself, so too, when we started calling the elders in our community, the people who were stuck at home, saying, "Hey, are you okay?" They responded, "Yes, we are okay, but we are also people. Don't just see our inability to go out, see our possibility to be servants of the Lord." People like Bill Keyes and Cindy Stewart, we called them up and said, "Are you okay?" And they said, "Yes, we are okay. Thanks for calling us. Now, who should we call? Because we want to serve God right now." Even Harriet Skaunberg, a woman in her mid-90s, when we called to check on her, she said, "All right, where's my call list?" Because she saw that in her, God is full of possibilities. And the greatest possibility is to help remind people of their humanity in this moment, that they aren't defined by their inability, but they're defined by God, who sees in them abundant possibility, because they are made in the image of God. They are people. And even our elders, if they can't go outside, they can remind people of their humanity through conversation, just like Jesus does. Because where the world sees inability, God sees possibility. But I have to tell you my favorite story this week of an elder in our community who, with God, saw possibility abounding, comes from Margaret Corti. And if you don't know Margaret Corti, let me tell you a few things about her. One, she's in her 80s. Two, she lives at the Terraces Assisted Living here in Chico. And three, a couple weeks ago, when all the stores began to run out of hand sanitizer, so did the assisted living facility in which Margaret lives. But here's the other thing about Margaret. She's a retired chemistry professor. And she also knows that when the world sees inability, God sees possibility. And so she went online to the World Health Organization and she found the recipe to make hand sanitizer. And she looked around, she realized the biggest ingredient she was missing was 91% alcohol, because the stores in our local area were also sold out of those things. But once again, where the world saw inability, Margaret saw possibility. And so in one of her art appreciation classes that is organized at her assisted living facility, she stood up one day and said, "Hey, I'm trying to make hand sanitizer for us. If you all see 91% alcohol, will you please grab it for me?" And some of the folks in the assisted living facility, they found it stored in their cupboards. And one gentleman said, "Well, you know, I'm off to visit my son in Mendocino. between here and there, I'll check in stores. And when he came back, he found a couple bottles of 91% alcohol. But mostly what he brought back was 75% alcohol, which was not high enough to meet the World Health Organization's standards. But where the world saw inability, Margaret knew God sees possibility. And so she called up her old contacts at the chemistry department at CSU and said, "Hey, I need some chemistry equipment." And the chair of the department hand-delivered Margaret chemistry equipment, and so she converted that 75% alcohol into 91% alcohol, and she started whipping up batches of hand sanitizer, and that same gentleman who got the alcohol from Mendocino ordered a bunch of bottles so that they can bottle it, and she recruited friends down the hall who bottled and labeled it. To date, they have made 50 bottles of hand sanitizer. And not only are they giving it away to the people who need it in their community, they're asking for a donation not just for themselves, not at all for themselves, they're asking for a donation as a Christmas gift for the hourly employees who are taking care of them in that assisted living facility. And so I'm here to tell you that yes, we may hear on the news about all the things that those who are most vulnerable can't do, but I know that here in Chico, there are octogenarians who are multiplying hand sanitizer like loaves and fishes because they know that when the world sees only inability, God sees possibility. But sometimes we are so focused on what we see as the inability that we are blinded to God's possibility. And so Jesus says that he has come into the world so that those who do not see may see, and so that those who do see might become blind. Jesus takes mud and spit, and he smears them on the eyes of the man who had been born blind. It is an anointing of sorts. It is not the anointing of kings with olive oils and perfume. It is an anointing for people who are in a situation in life where they feel rejected and there is no hope. So Jesus takes something that is used to blind, mud and spit, and puts it in our eyes so that we might become blind to the world as we have seen it, so that we might become blind to all the inability that we see, and instead have our eyes opened to see the possibility that God intends. And so this coming week, I invite you, whenever you are tempted to see only inability, I invite you to imagine how God might see possibility. When you see barren shelves at the grocery store, open your eyes to the possibility of what might be present in each store clerk stocking the shelves or each delivery person leaving a package at your door. When you see only the loneliness and inability of social distancing, I invite you to imagine how God might see the possibility that abounds in the neighbors on your block. When you see only the inability of boredom that comes from the mandatory order to stay in your home, I invite you to imagine how God might see the possibility of your imagination that has been invited to run wild. And when you see only the inability caused by a pandemic, a word which literally means all people, I invite you to imagine the possibilities that God is seeing to do the works of God and how they might be revealed in all people this very day. May we become blind to inability, and may our eyes be opened to see God's possibility this day and every day. Amen.